Well, thank you very much for your welcome. Yes, I'm a brash northern missionary to you southerners. I'm from Oak Tree, been there about 2 years, and you might have guessed from my size, I'm not really a ballet dancer. In my downtime, I play a bit of rugby just up the road for Ealing Vets, and I love going to very loud music concerts. So that's kind of a little bit about me. But one of my absolute and utter passions is to get people using the Bible as a whole. Because I think they get fed up at Oak Tree already with me, kind of going, look, asking a lot of questions and going, well, you'll find the answers in the Bible. Let's look in the Bible. So I'm going to encourage you to grab a Bible. There's some in the seats, I find, and open them up. If you're really posh, turn your Bible on. And we will jump through various different bits of Scripture, looking at, unpacking, and getting a better understanding of sin and forgiveness. Because the thing is, we kind of, if we're kind of long in the tooth about Christianity, we kind of think we've got a good grasp on this whole idea of sin and forgiveness. We're sinners. Jesus died, rose again, forgave us. And we kind of leave it at that. And it's almost kind of as if we've kind of missed the grace-filledness of the whole idea of sin and forgiveness. Now, but towards the end of this, you might think, oh, I'm not sure about that. Take all your arguments up with Steve when he gets back, all right? He's more than happy to talk a lot about that. So, I need you to open up your Bibles. We're going to start, again, they get a bit fed up at Oak Tree with this, but most of the answers to the questions we ask in the New Testament are found in the Old Testament. So I want you to open up your Bibles to page, I think it's mostly on 561 in the Bibles that you've got in your pews or chairs. And we are going to look at Psalm 32. And two verses in that are going to inform our understanding of sin and forgiveness. We're going to look at one verse in Hebrews, and then we're going to leap back into our Luke Gospel reading and see if that helps us inform our understanding of sin and forgiveness. Are you with me? Well, three people are. That's always a good start. So, Psalm 32, beginning to read at verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Interestingly enough, in Hebrew, there are at least, that some people say more, but there are at least six different Hebrew words that cover the whole idea of sin, okay? So we kind of do sin, transgression, and we kind of go, oh, that's kind of the same really, isn't it? But actually, there's six different ways of understanding sin in Hebrew, at least. Three of them are covered in these two verses. And interestingly enough, there's three different words for forgiveness in this passage. So let's start. We're going to teach you Hebrew words, and you're all going to be tested on them next week. The first word we have in verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgressions. Now, repeat after me. Transgressions in Hebrew is asham. Brilliant. That's excellent. So the first Hebrew word for sin is asham. Now, the translation of that is to refuse to sit under the authority of. Interestingly enough, as we speak, my second eldest son is graduating from Hendon. And he is going to be a policeman. And he tried on his outfit earlier on this week. And I have to say, in my opinion, he looked like he'd been rummaging around in a dress-up box. Okay? Even though he had an asp, he had handcuffs, he had a stab vest. Don't tell my wife about the stab vest. But he looked like he'd been playing dress-up. But he receives his warrant card today. Proud moment. But he has that authority. He sits under the authority. I think her name is Clarissa Dick, the chief inspector of the whole of London. He sits under her authority. If he suddenly decided the best way to stop a prisoner is to hit them over the head with the asp, it's not. They train them not to hit them on the head. And he decided to do that. His choice would be stepping out of the authority that the chief inspector had given to him. Okay? So he's under her authority as of 1 o'clock today. If he decides to hit somebody on the head with his asp, it's a horrible thing, he would be stepping out from under her authority. So, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. The second word for sin is in verse 2, it's the second half of verse 1, is the third line, whose sins are covered. Second Hebrew word, chataha. Well, one person's listening. Let's try that. Sadly, she's from Yorkshire, but there we go. Second word for Hebrew, chataha. First word for Hebrew? Hey, you're on this. So chataha, the second word for sin. Now, this word translates literally as to aim for something and to miss the mark. So it's a kind of an archer's principle. You aim to hit the target, but it falls short. In a way, it's like we try and do something right. We start the day with, I'm not going to get angry at my kids. I'm not going to get wound up at my wife. I'm going to glorify her and not argue. Funk. All right? That's the idea. You aim to do right, but it falls short. And obviously, from St. Stephen's Ealing, this sin is not one you struggle with at all. All right? Second Hebrew word is chataha. First one, a sham. Third one, verse 2. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Third Hebrew word for sin, avon. First word, second word, third word, avon. So, the final one, avon. This one is a really interesting one because it leaves two possible kind of ways of seeing it. You can read it literally and go, it's to be bent over. It's something that's just not straight. It's not a plumb line. It's something that's just a bit bent. Or it's something that's a bit bent because of something that's been put on it. So the sin can be somebody else's who's done it, but it has been done to you. Do you get the difference? You can read it where it's bent over. It's, oh dear, when I play rugby on a Saturday, they all kind of come up to me in Oak Tree and slap me on the shoulders. They think it's hilarious because I walk around like, oh man, I'm aching. And it's like that. I'm bent over. But at the same time, it's a sin that involves what people put upon us. So we have three different words for sin. We have, first one, oh, he's nearly all there. Second one, and third one. So then we have three different words for forgiveness. In verse one, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. The word there is nasa. And that's what translated is to be picked up and carried away. Interesting enough, I'm just wondering whether, I know it's an acronym for something, NASA, the space agency, but they pick up stuff and put it somewhere else. I'm wondering if there was some Jewish guy involved in the naming of that organization. But to be forgiven, to be picked up and carried away. The second one, in the second half of verse 1, whose sins are covered. The word is kippah. Okay, interesting, if you know anything, I realize I'm looking outside. Some of you went to Israel a few years ago, and you would have seen at the Western Wall all the males of a certain age wear hats, and you're made to wear a hat as well. And they are called kippahs, because they cover the head. It's the same translation as it's said here, whose sins are covered. You are covered over. Third word, does not count against, that's the translation at the end of verse 2. The word is hashab. So the first word is nasa. Second word, third word is hashab. And that is literally as it's translated there. It's an accounting principle. Who does not count against. It's like kind of two lines and paid. There's either a debit or there's a, what's the other one, debt. Isn't there? I'm not very good at accounts. Okay. So interesting enough, if we look at that translation with the three sin words, a sham, chataha, avon, and the three forgiveness words, nasa, kippah, and hashab, we could literally translate for ourselves those verses to, blessed is the one who aims to do one thing and misses the mark, because God will pick up their sins and carry them away. Blessed are those who refuse to sit under rightful authority, because their sins will be covered over. And blessed are those who are bent over because of theirs or someone else's sin, because God does not count their sins against them. Interesting enough, we had a sermon series at Oak Tree a few months ago. We did it 6 weeks in Leviticus. I can see you sat there thinking, I'm glad you're not the vicar here. We did 6 weeks in Leviticus, looking at a different sacrifice each week. And the whole of the Old Testament is strewn with these descriptions of sacrifices to deal with different things at different times and different sins and different obligations. And they go on in great detail. And I just find it fascinating. And I know I'm in the minority there, but it is, for me, fascinating. But if we've just read two verses from Psalm 32, if we flick to Hebrews, page 1208. Quick pop quiz. How many seats were there in the first and second temple? Anybody, put their hand up quickly. We've got a suggestion from the Yorkshire opposition here of none. Now, does anybody want to kind of... she's kind of correct. Anybody else want to say anything different? Possibly one. Oh, go on, I'll give you that. Okay, there's possibly one. Because there's a thing called the mercy seat where sins are forgiven. Okay? This is the thing where all the sacrifices are done. All right? But the idea is there's no seat because the priestly role is never complete. In the Old Testament understanding, sin is always there. Sin always has to be dealt with, whether it's covered over, picked up, carried away, whatever. It always has to be dealt with. That is why the priestly job is so important and so busy. They have to do things day after day. Hebrews chapter 10, starting to read at verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of God because the job was done. Interesting, you said it in the Gloria earlier on. Where does he sit? At the right hand of God. Significance of that is the mercy seat where sins are done, the priest can sit down. And that is why when we come to Luke 15, we have an intriguing picture of a father and two sons. Never forget the eldest son, because I find that one is often the one pointing at us. We read the first one and go, oh, isn't God great? He forgives our sins. But then the old misery one in there, let's not deal with him because he's in misery. He's at home working and whinging from the outside. But when it comes to looking at Luke 15 and what is traditionally seen in some prayer books, seen as an introduction into confession, certainly all the new theology and commentaries into that passage, they look at the younger son, when he confesses, when he's feeding pigs, I shall return to my father and say I've sinned. They footnote that and link it to what they call the false confession of the Pharaoh. And it's really interesting that the false confession, when he says, oh, go on, you go, yes, you can go into the desert, take your people with me. And then the Pharaoh changes his mind and drags them all back. The phrasing and the words of that prodigal son. Because let's face it, he's not said sorry. He sat there feeding pigs and realizes his dad's servants have it better than he does. So he's going to go home and say, oh, well, no, well, where did you hold your son? Make me a slave. So the latest commentaries say that that isn't a true confession. But what does the father still do? Anybody? He forgives him. Because the Father is the grace-filled God, that even when his son comes to him and asks with a bad heart, just make me a servant, he still forgives him and welcomes him home and gives him the keys to the kingdom. What a grace full God that is. If you want to disagree, go chat to Steve. But this is a model of Christ. This is a model of God that actually we have a massive, now different way of viewing sin and forgiveness. That even when somebody comes to us whose heart is not true, we still forgive. We still give grace. And we still look to see that person transformed. Let's bow our heads.